judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Oh, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh,
he shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh, I said he cometh to judge the earth.
Well, I'd like to share with you today, particularly with these times that we're living in, and they are strange times, and we are very aware that our lives, the world, globally, it is all going to be quite different to what it used to be. And so we do need to exhort and encourage one another, and also to address so that we're able to discern the times that we are in, and that our discernment is balanced, is blessed, and is led by the Lord. And there are many things that you're seeing as believers that the world doesn't see. And the reason that they don't see is because we know the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And sometimes we get a little frustrated as to why they are not seeing, or why the governments are not seeing, or our leaders, or whatever it is. When you are aware of that, that is when you have the great potential set before you to be able to pray and intercede that God indeed would show them and open their eyes. Well, I have a title today for our teaching, and that is our faith affected by Corona? Is our faith affected by Corona? Of course, the virus, that's what we're looking at today. Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 23. Chapter 23. I'm sure most of you all know the story of Balaam, the prophet, who was of God and was given a gift of God, but sadly his ministry became corrupted through money, through greed. And Balaam typifies, sadly, so many ministries that we have today. Because a lot of Christians say, well, if this ministry is off, why is it that people still get healed? Why is it there's still gifts? And there's a reason for that, because those gifts are divinely given of God. And they will still function for a season, even though that minister is apostatizing. And the only explanation I can give for that is because there are still those who come with a genuine faith and a heart who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who come for blessing or healing or whatever the need. And that is why God will still maintain for a season that gift. And this gift of Balaam is still in operation, even though he is apostatizing. And the king of Balak, asked him to curse Israel because he wanted to get many of the Jews away. A type of ethnic cleansing, if you like. And we take it up in verse 11 of Numbers 23. And it says, "Then Balak said to Balaam, 'What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully.' So he answered and he said, 'Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?'" So every time Balaam wanted to curse Israel, he couldn't because of that gift that is still in operation. "Then Balak said to him, 'Please come with me to another place from which you may see them, and you shall see only the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there.' So he brought him to the field of Zophim and to the top of Pisgah and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, 'Stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there.' So Balaam thought he could still do what Balak wanted to curse Israel. But we see what happens here. "Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, 'Go back to Balak and thus you shall speak.' So he came to him and there he was standing by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab were with him, and Balak said to him, 'What has the Lord spoken?' Then he took up his oracle and said, 'Rise up, Balak, and hear, listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and cannot reverse it.'" God cannot reverse the blessing over Israel. And that is why Israel still is blessed today. That is why many Jews are blessed today. And that is why they are so persecuted and have been over the centuries, because their persecution is so often motivated by jealousy. And remember, jealousy was the first sin that committed murder with Cain and Abel. You see, human nature doesn't change. Nothing changes. It is still the same. And so here we see God is faithful. God blesses. He preserves and he keeps because of his promises. Now, remembering that, let's look at a few other promises in God's word. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're seeing whatever he's decreed, whatever he says, whomever he is called from the foundation of the world, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever over each of us. And he doesn't change. Remember, our title is Our Faith Affected by Corona? That's what we're talking about today. And finally, let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And so it goes on. So all the gifts, everything that God blesses, everything that he does in our life, there is no variation, no shadow of turning. Whatever he does with your brother, your sister, whoever, his heart, his motivation, his purpose, his plan is the same for all of us. It's the same for the overcomers, the church that is rising up in these last days. It is the same. Now the question that I raise is, with what we're hearing and what is going on and in the news and everything, is our faith being affected? Am I struggling? Am I confused? These are all things that we have to be honest and ask ourselves, because we know that these are pestilences and diseases, and all of this is going to get worse. The question is, how am I standing in all of this? What is my attitude? Is fear motivating me? Or is my stand, am I standing in the Lord and standing on his promises, that is what's motivating me? We have to be at times honest. And this is why we can have trials, both personal trials, corporate trials, and global trials. They all can come in different ways for the purpose to reveal where we are today, now, in the faith. And we make much of that for that very purpose, so that you can seek God and get these things right. You see, this all points to the unchanging God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So we were talking about God doesn't change. And whatever is happening in the world and with this global epidemic and so on, God still doesn't change, because it doesn't take God by surprise, unlike it does with us. And so he's always one step ahead every time with regard to whatever we face, whatever we go through, and we can have that assurance. However complicated or confusing it may be, we have that assurance that the unchanging God has it under complete control. And therefore, it shouldn't cause us to fear or to become very confused, or always keep looking to the arm of the flesh for answers. We get most of our answers from God. We don't need to keep going to man. Man will always confuse. Man will always give that logic, which will always appeal to our mind, to our intellect, to our pride. God doesn't work that way with us. God works in the inner man, in our heart, in our spirit. And he causes us to turn also to his word, because he speaks so differently to how man does. So we really do need to learn this lesson at this present time. That's something that I am being challenged with. I don't need to keep listening to what man is saying. God is speaking loud and clear if we choose to hear what he says. And very often we know in the storm, in the centre of that storm, in that stillness, that is where God speaks. And that is why we have to draw aside, to come aside and wait on the Lord and let him speak and so on, which he does. So we know where we stand, don't we? Because he doesn't change. And so we allow him to work in us and through us. You see, God always sets the bar, doesn't he? He always sets the standard to our faith. And he won't deviate. He won't change. We have to rise up to that standard. And that's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's why the Spirit of God is here, to teach us and to help us and to cause us to rise up to that standard, because no man can meet that standard. That's why religion is so vain before God. That is why God isn't in religion, because it's man's works trying to please God. The only way you can please God is to have that simple childlike faith and believe that he can and he will do all and more that we ask or think. So God sets the bar, and that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith today with this virus that is still attacking globally. And our faith will cause us to rise above it. Our faith will have the right answers to this. Our faith will be able to speak to people when they're confused, down, feel that they can't take any more. We know that governments are so concerned about the mental oppression that this is causing on people around the world, and particularly the elderly people who are in much more severe lockdown. And all of that is quite true. So they know the symptoms, but we know the spiritual side. We know who's behind that, who works in that. So we're able to get in prayer and intercede the, and bind those demons that are trying to oppress people's minds. Or your mother or father, their mind, or whatever it would be. You see, that is what our faith can do. Our faith can look beyond what man cannot see. Our faith always has the answer, because Jesus is the answer. And that is why he sets the bar and challenges us with regard to our faith. And we either trust the Lord in this or we don't. And whatever decision we take, it's not going to take God by surprise. But he wants us to get it right. He wants us to be able to discern in these closing days. He wants us to have the right scriptural answers. Because there's a huge amount going out there. And you know, you're getting it as much as I am. You're getting these videos and emails and articles are being sent through to us from people. And a lot of it, you've just got to delete it or put it to one side. You haven't got time for a lot of it. Because our time is spent up with God, listening to him and what he's saying. And walking each day, this day, by faith and overcoming. And we know that we have to trust the Lord when we go out. And we're going to be tested with our faith because, you know, they're looking for this vaccination that they can vaccinate the whole world and everything. I raise very strong questions on that, as to whether they really will have a vaccination for this. They may have something just to suppress it, like they do with HIV. All your world leaders and health leaders all were boasting that they would have a vaccination to cure HIV/AIDS. There isn't. They can suppress it, you can live with it, but there are still people today are still dying of AIDS. Even with medication, you don't hear that, do you? Can they cure the common cold? No, there's no vaccination for that. There's no vaccination for flus. It's simply to suppress it. Now that tells us something. For the Christian, it tells us you either are going to trust God or you're not. You're either going to stand on his promises or not. These are the things that speak to me and challenge me. This is what speaks to me, Kim. Do I have the faith to believe that when I go out in the next 6 months or next year or whenever, When all the while the Lord tarries, am I believing that God will preserve and protect me? And it's no good pushing it under the carpet or being in denial. We have to face that issue. Is God going to preserve and keep me? Does he keep his angels charge over me or not? We're going to look at these as we go on, some of these promises. Now, if I am thinking that, and that goes on in my mind, I cannot be the only one. You must be thinking it the same. And for a good reason, because God is asking us a question. You see, God doesn't force faith on us. He doesn't force his promises on us. We have a free will. And our love for the Lord Jesus says, I choose to believe and I want to believe. And help thou my unbelief, Lord. Is God going to turn his back on his children that ask that and cry for that? Is that the nature of our God? No, it is not. It's the devil that tries to pervert that in our mind and thinking, ah, yes, but what if? What if? You see? And God is getting rid of those what ifs. Because that's what the world says. That's what logic says. Now, at the present time, when I go out, I am wearing a mask. And I'm wearing a mask for a reason, because I don't want to cause others to stumble. But there may come a time when God says, now you trust me, no more masks. But I haven't had that yet. So we have to use wisdom, which God gives us. But I see this going on for a very, very long time. And like all of these plagues over the centuries, they come and they go. And how do we survive? We survive because God has put immunity within the system, even though we live in a fallen world. And there is nothing like our immune system that keeps us alive. And you can pray over your immunity. You can offer that to the Lord. That's part of God's preservation over your life, to give you a good immune system. Of course he's going to do that. So we may well catch this virus. I think I did, but I only showed very mild symptoms of it. Thank God. But for the purpose of my immunity. And less out of the whole population, it's infinitely less than 1% who will catch it or even die. So news media loves to sensationalize everything and how the devil uses it. So is our faith affected by corona? That's the question. That's what we're talking and answering today. So we either trust the Lord in this or not. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12? We know this one well. We look at it often. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you will partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So Peter says quite clearly here, don't think it strange concerning those fiery trials. This virus, coronavirus, is a trial. And yes, It's felt very, very strange. Nobody has experienced anything like this. The nearest thing that people put it to was World War II. But this is strange. This is nothing you or I in our lifetime have ever experienced. And he goes on, but don't think it's strange. The reason we don't think it's strange, because God is in control. And God is on the scene. And man is moving towards the final judgment. This is all building up. So we're not to think it's that strange, these trials. Though some strange thing has happened to us. This isn't strange to us, coronavirus. It is to the world, but it's not to the believer, to the overcomer. He says quite clearly here, these are part of the signs of the last days. The question for the overcomer is, am I going to be able to walk by faith in this and overcome in this? That's what we should be consumed about, not the strangeness of this and what the world and government is talking about. We need to hear what God is saying to the believer, that he will preserve us and protect us through these pestilences and diseases. That is the question. That's why you need the whole armour of God when you meet the day. Before you even get out of bed. That confession of faith. So that when I meet this day, I have the protection. I have the armour of God and the blood of the Lamb which I overcome. But he says, verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. When his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. So God's glory is going to be revealed in this crisis. He is. He's going to manifest himself in some way. In fact, we are beginning to see some of the manifestations of God in this. It's even affecting people. Even I heard on the news the other day, they said people are much kinder than they were 4 months ago. I thought, that's interesting. Society's a lot kinder. What's doing it? This trial. So even the world can be affected by what God permits and allows. That's why God says he pours rain on the just and the unjust. Well, how much more for you and I who are believers when we shall see the glory of God revealed in all of this? In other words, you will see God's mind in this. You will see his purpose in this. You'll see what he's aiming for in this. You will have the insight. You will be given the revelation and understanding that the world doesn't have, that even our governments don't have, but you will have. That's what he means by all of this, through these fiery trials. Stay with it. I know it appears strange, odd, things are not happening as they do normally in our lives. We're in restriction, but don't think it's strange, because you are going to see God's glory revealed in this. What a blessing. God doesn't keep us in the dark, which so often the enemy tries to accuse. Far from it. So corona shouldn't be a surprise to us. What did Jesus say? Let's turn to Luke 21. Just to confirm this again. Luke 21 and verse 11. Here Jesus is speaking about the signs of the times and the end of the age. And here he says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. That is what we are moving towards. It isn't going to go away, brothers and sisters. And that is why God is building us up in the faith. That is why our meetings, coming together, being built up in the Word is so vital for these end times. Because we're not burying our heads in the sand like so many Christians are. The foolish virgins, they hope it's going to go away. Give me some space. I want some rest. But we can't. We're in our Father's vineyard. We're working. There's a harvest to be brought in. And that wine is going to be sweet. And so that is what is going to happen. Earthquakes are increasing. These seismologists will tell you that. They're monitoring the whole world, the whole globe now. And they will all tell you earthquakes are increasing. And it says in various places. So not just where it's common or fault lines. It will be in various places. Famines. Oh, we're seeing that, particularly over the last 30 years. That is a hard one. When you see people starving to death. And we've had the great privilege, have we not, in FGA, to be able to send money out to our brothers and sisters, particularly in this time of Corona, and with the orphans that we sponsor as well. Because things are bad there for them. They have lost their livelihood, their jobs. And I showed you the photos of how all of this was distributed. They made up hundreds of parcel bags of food. All of this took about 5 days to get to the distributors because they're only open for a certain time. They're in lockdown. And then to get it back and to sort it all out and then to weigh it and put it into bags. And then those bags have got to be taken and they're going out as far as 20, 30 miles to some of the saints who are in the churches. When I spoke to Danny the other day, he was exhausted. It's a huge feat that they do. And you and I have the privilege to be able to finance this, to keep God's remnant alive. In this time. That's what it's talking about here. And there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven. We're going to see the heavens altering and changing. They're becoming very concerned about certain meteorites that are out there in the solar system. Some of them are getting much nearer. Now, I'm not saying that one is going to fall on the earth. It will in the last days. But I'm just bringing out what we hear. So scientists are even aware of this. And what is it going to do to us? Is it going to cause fear, anxiety, or are we going to wax stronger and bolder in the Lord? Because the Lord has this under control. We are moving into very strange times. Times where you will not be able to understand or have answers to it. Times where logic will just seem it won't have the answer. Oh, yes, your scientists will and your politicians will. That's simply pride there. But the question is, we have to be motivated by the Spirit, by God's word and what the Spirit is saying. That is the question. And that is why we have got to learn to rest with our faith. And that is keeping our eyes and heart on the Lord, on the cross. Because the cross is always foolishness. In trials. The cross doesn't make any sense in trials. When Jesus went to the cross, it didn't make any sense. It looked an absolute failure. And we at times in our trials look an absolute failure. But you stay with it and you'll see what the resurrection from the cross does in your life when it raises you up anew. The same as our Lord was raised up as the Son of Man. He left all the glory of God as God's Son. And he endured the cross and stayed with it. And so God raised him up as the Son of Man, who now sits at the right hand of God. A new humanity, a new race, a new family for Almighty God. That was what was wrought through Jesus. But look at the failure of it. Until God revealed his glory. And it's exactly the same in the church. It's exactly the same with your walk, your faith, your trials that you go through. But God will glorify his name through you. When you've endured and you've stayed with it, they will see. That is why our whole faith, our whole preaching, our whole gospel is on the cross of Christ. That is the focal point. Well, let's remind ourselves then, talking of the cross. Remember, we're talking today, is our faith affected by corona? That's what we're raising today. Well, firstly, the cross enables you to see Christ's victory. That is why everything is centered from the cross. Your life, your walk, your faith, your prayers, your intercessions, your warfare, healing, deliverance is based from the cross. Because the cross is the victory of Jesus. That he overcame this world. And so that enables us to be able to have that victory that is in him, the one who overcame the world. And we need a faith that overcomes the world because of what we have just read to you back in Luke 21:11, what Jesus said would be the signs in the last days. And many of those signs that we're speaking about is not just a nation. They are global signs. They affect the world. And that is what you're going to see. That is what is going to be the difference. You're going to see global problems. Now, of course, this is all very strange, isn't it? Because the enemy, he always counterfeits what God does. We hear constantly now in the news and media, globalization, new world order. Global vaccinations, global health cares, everything is now global. Man is building his Babel, Babylon. He's going to control the world globally. That is the new world order. That is what they believe. There's going to be a new world, a new order. And that is why the Antichrist will come and head all of that. Now, can you not see how Satan is counterfeiting exactly what God is doing? Because judgment is falling now globally. And there's the difference. And that is what you're going to see. That is what you're going to discern. These are all the signs that Jesus told us to look for. As we keep our eyes also on Israel and on the fig tree. Bringing us closer and nearer to the great day when the church is raptured and caught away unto the Lord. Because that's going to be the next great event. Well, another area to look at. We're dealing with the cross. The cross deals with fear, unbelief, and wrong emotions. The cross deals with fear, unbelief, and wrong emotions. So you're battling with fear? The cross will deal with it. No matter how strange, how odd it looks, how much of a failure it looks. Do you feel a failure at times? I do sometimes. I feel an absolute failure. I feel a right fraud. I don't know why God bothers sometimes, but he does, in his infinite love and grace. And your life and my life is not a failure. It might at times look it, because you're going through a deep trial, and it's the cross, and the cross looks a failure. But you wait, you hold on, you stay in there, and resurrection is going to come. And very often it comes quicker than we think, because God can never leave us in a state of failure. God didn't leave Jesus in a state of failure, bound in his flesh in sin. No, he raised him up. He paid the debt of our sin, our rebellion, and raised him up. That is what the cross will always do. That is why you stay with it, brothers and sisters. No matter how bad it can look, and sometimes it can, we are tested with this for that very reason. But God is going to deal with these fears, these unbeliefs, and also these wrong emotions, because we are emotional beings. And there's nothing wrong with our emotions, but our emotions so often can be moved by wrong means. That I believe the emotions behind fear and unbelief are wrong emotions. And you know they are. Because they're emotions that make you panic. They're emotions that don't give you peace. They're emotions that cause you to strive, or you're looking for answers. You're just not at peace. They're the wrong emotions that are attached to it. And they're not good emotions, because they trigger off bad things in our system. They cause the heart to start beating faster. And breathing and everything, and sweating and so forth, that's not good for you. But there are good emotions that are behind faith, endurance, overcoming. There are good emotions when you're in God's presence and when you're praising him, when you're with brothers and sisters. There are good emotions now rising up in us as we're in this room. So there's nothing wrong with these emotions, but there also are bad emotions. And they are so often triggered off by unbelief and fear. Because emotions, if they're not dealt with, will always cause us to make a wrong choice, a wrong decision. How many wrong things have you done in your life because it felt right? It felt right. I made a lot of blunders because it felt right. Until I saw the blunder, and it didn't feel right then after that. You see, there's the difference. When we hold on to the Word of God, when we make the Word of God, these promises, our life, our confession, that will start to feel right, because feelings will come with it. Look when we heard the news of our sister Teresa, what God brought her through. And she rang me the other day, and it was lovely to hear her voice. It felt good. It felt right, because there's the evidence of faith. But when we were going through a trial with her and we nearly lost her, oh, our feelings, our emotions then, they didn't feel right. But we couldn't be persuaded by that. We had to be persuaded by what God says about her. And I don't know about you, but I held on and I said, I cannot accept and believe that my sister is going to go home to you through coronavirus, a plague that is part of judgment. My sister has been delivered from judgment. She's been delivered from this world. That's what was coming out of my mouth as I was pleading before God, praying before God for her life. Because that lined up with the word of God. She's a new creation. You're a new creation. And that's why you can't be touched. You can't die with this. Because this is God judging. And you are not judged anymore. That judgment was dealt with at the cross. Jesus paid the cost. Jesus paid the cost of corona for you and me at the cross. So are we going to let this affect us? That is the question. And finally, the cross positions you on God and not on self. Or that striving on those dead works. The cross always positions your self-life on him and him alone. So that you can will to do the will of God. The cross works obedience in your life and my life, which is what pleases God more than anything. But we're not good at obedience. We're not good at it at all. It is not in our nature, in the natural. So God has to put it there. And he puts it there through the victory of the cross. As we stay with it, and as we believe, he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure, it says in Philippians 2. That's what he does. So the cross positions you completely on God, and it deals with that self-life, that independent, selfish life. It deals with selfishness in us. It deals with stopping us always putting ourselves first and what we want and what we demand and what we expect and so on. That's what it does. So that the will of God can be worked through us. But not only that, it deals with dead works. God doesn't want dead works from us. They don't glorify his name. And that's what religion does, sadly. Religion just offers up dead works, dead prayers, ritual. And he's not in it. Because the cross is not there. The only cross that they understand is a cross on an altar, or what they wear around their neck. Well, we live by the way of the cross. It's a part of our life. And there is the difference. And only the Holy Spirit is the one who can emulate and bring that into your life and soul and being. That's why I say, don't try and crucify yourself. You needn't bother about that. Those trials will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. You'll know where you stand. I always remember years ago, a saint said to me, I don't understand my life. I don't seem to be having real trials. I hear about some Christians and some in the church, you know, they're really going through real fiery trials. And, you know, I said, look, don't worry about that. It will happen. And he sort of looked at me. And only a few weeks later, boy, did the first trial come. And they said to me, I now know, Pastor, what you're talking about. You see, God does it because he's in control. But the cross always places us above it, even though you're going through it. There is something within you. Your faith knows that even this is burning and as hot as it is, that I'm still above all of this because this cannot destroy me. What does it say as we bring this to a conclusion? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For the purpose, so that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. So if you really want to see his riches, if you really want to experience his kindness, then know this, that you are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how he does it. He doesn't do it first in this earth. He does it with us in heavenly places. That is why your life, my life, and walk is spiritual. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, for this very purpose, that we experience being seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where you experience him. Religion always looks for him on the earth somewhere. We don't look there. We look up. When Jesus was taken up after 40 days, it said they stood there and they looked up. And they said, he will come again. The very way he went up, he will come back. And that's why we look up. We don't look down. We're not people who look down. We are people who look up. Because that is where we are with him. In heavenly places. And finally, yes, we couldn't leave this out, could we? Psalm 91. Psalm 91, one of the greatest psalms. It's all there. For your protection, your walk, your blessings. Everything is in there. I'm not going to read it all, but we'll just read from verses 1 to 8. God's promises. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. There's your confession, there's your belief. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Here is now where God is speaking. There's your confession, verses 1 to 2. Now is the promise. Now is what the Spirit is saying, because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High with him. You abide under that shadow of the Almighty. You say, this is what you say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. There we are, we're talking about this because of Corona. Now listen what God says in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Or you could say, I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And from the perilous pestilence. I shall cover you with my feathers, and under my wings you shall take refuge. My truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. God is still speaking, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Do you know what is so wonderful about this psalm? All the believer has to say, he who dwells in the secret place, that's what God's saying. If you dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, you say to him, I say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Look at the rest from verse 3 through to 16 on what you say, just those few words. Look what he says that you have. Wow. It is amazing. He'll deliver you. from the fowler. He'll deliver you from the perilous pestilence. In other words, I'll deliver you from Corona. You won't have it. You won't be judged by it. That's why I stood on the word over our sister Teresa, for that very purpose. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge, just like a mother hen with her chicks, as she brings her wings out to preserve and keep them and look after them. It's a wonderful sight when you see that. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And that's what we do. We speak the truth. We know the truth. We pray for the truth and so on, because it's our buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Yes, you're gonna, these things are going to happen. We might possibly experience an earthquake, but it's not going to terrorize you. It's not going to kill you or affect you. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. And these things, like Corona, it's of the powers of darkness. They like to use these words, pandemics and everything. Political correctness. It's not really. These are powers of darkness. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We may see 1,000 falling. And people are falling. 10,000 at your right hand. But it's not going to come near you. And only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. God will avenge his name. He will judge the wicked. He will judge those that despitefully use you and lie and scheme about you. Where we see the poor being oppressed. All of those wicked things that we know in history, slave trade, you name it. God will judge it. And you will see the reward of the wicked for what they have done. Why? Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. And it goes on. Oh, I could preach all day on that psalm, but I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. There's God's promise. There's God's provision. We have to make sure we are in this spiritual ark that the Lord has prepared. I believe FGA and other churches are part of this spiritual ark that God has got us in. That's going to preserve us and keep us, just like Noah's Ark to preserve those 8 souls. So that ark is going to preserve us as the tides of judgment come in. We're going to find, like the ark rose above the water levels, so we rise above it as well, because that ark preserved those 8 souls and the church. The foundation of Jesus Christ that you stand on is going to preserve and keep you also. Is our faith affected by Corona? That's what we have been talking about and hopefully answering some questions.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son. Neither the sun.